please, for our Old Testament reading, to Genesis chapter 35. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bakut. And God appeared unto Jacob again, when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. And he journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Ben-Yamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad, and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so now we have the next phase of Jacob's life, and notice that it begins with acts of consecration. This is an important thing to remember here in the life of Jacob, that like we said, relating in the last two chapters, we said that Jacob had fallen from some kind of faithfulness, that we see holes in his faith. We see weaknesses in it. He was told to go to Bethel, and yet he stopped in Shechem instead, right? Coming from Padan Aram down into the promised land, and the first stop after he crossed over into the land of promise was Shechem, and he just stopped there. Rather than going further to Bethel, he stopped. And we saw what happened in Shechem and all of the difficulties. Now, notice God appears to him again and says, go to Bethel. We might imply here, like I told you to at the first, when you fled from Esau, your brother, now go to that place again. So, what does Jacob do? I think it's reasonable to infer from the passage that Jacob, imbibes in some family reformation. So he says to his family, we're going to Bethel. I'm going to build an altar there. We're going to worship the Lord our God. Change your garments, wash yourselves, and put away your strange gods. Fathers, this is good counsel to follow. Say that to your children, to your grandchildren. Make sure that your children, those within your household, are putting away their strange gods. Now, the strange gods may not be something that you can bury under an oak tree like Jacob did there. They may not be something like that. But we know that Rachel at least was holding on to those idols coming out of Padan Aram. And notice it says also that they took off their earrings. Oh boy, Pastor Adele's going to go stomping on toes now. We're not talking about earrings that are just decoration. Those are lawful. We see the ladies, godly ladies in Scripture, using such things, although they're always told never to focus on that, right? That the beauty should be inward first and foremost. But these were earrings that gave some sort of affinity to the idols of the land, and so they must go along with the teraphim. So what we learn here is that in what we wear, we may be with our mouths professing Christianity, but we may be advertising something else. And this goes for men and women, boys and girls. So remember that, beloved, that they had to take off their earrings too, because they had developed in their attire an affinity with the world that must be taken away. And so Jacob takes all of that and buries it under the oak in Shechem, and they leave it behind. May I say, some commentators have waxed quite eloquently on saying Jacob should have burned them all with fire as a witness. Well, maybe he should have, and maybe he shouldn't have. Let's not make an unnecessary deduction here. Let's commend the patriarch in that they were buried and left behind. Beloved, let's get the idols out of our heart. Let's bury them and let's leave them behind. Right? I mean, whenever we read something like this in Scripture, doesn't it call upon us to examine our hearts to see what remnants, what relics of idolatry are there, that we might get rid of those things? Bury them and leave them behind. Okay, so And they journeyed, notice verse 5, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. If I were preaching from this passage, I would take you down the road of two particular things that we'll have to content ourselves with simply hearing them. God protected them because they were professedly engaging in this family reformation. And so God was protecting them to advance them in that estate. We can expect God's blessing when we do such things. And then the other thing that the Lord is doing here, I think, is he's making a good use of the horrible actions of Simeon and Levi. The nations heard, you don't want to mess with those guys. They cut you off. They will kill you. They're vicious warriors. And so the Lord made use of what they had done in Shechem, although they had acted horribly evilly, the Lord made a good use of that and used that reputation of theirs to protect them as they traveled to Bethel. And so when they got to Bethel, notice Jacob reared that altar as he said he would, and this time he named it El Bethel, God of the house of God. Right? That's what it means. Bethel means the house of God. God means, or El means God, so El Bethel. This God is the God of Bethel, the house of God, where I thought I was alone, and I recognized that no, God was in this place, and I knew it not. That's what Jacob means in the naming of that altar. So then God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram, and so the Abrahamic promises are all renewed to Jacob there. In verses 9 through 12. And then also Jacob set up that pillar. He poured a drink offering and poured oil thereon. That's the altar that's being spoken of there. And the name of that place is Bethel. Some commentators think that this is referring back to when Jacob first came out of Paddan Aram, that it's being spoken of Peniel, sort of in retrospect. I don't think so. I think this is a new appearance of God in Bethel. All right, so then they leave Bethel behind, and they're traveling toward Ephrath, and here is where Rachel travails and dies. And she gives birth to a son. And Rachel, in my notes I was musing a little bit on this. We wonder, don't we, since Rachel was the one who brought the teraphim out of Paddan Aram, that if she had bucked against or refused that family reformation, and she suffers for her idolatry here. It's a conjecture, and yet notice that it is Rachel that dies, and in keeping with pure form for Rachel, what does she do? She blames her son. She calls him, she names him, the son of my sorrow. Rather than pointing her face toward the Lord and calling upon his name, she names him the son of my sorrow, but Jacob changes that name to the son of my right hand, or the son of my strength, Ben Yamin, or Benjamin, as we say in the English language. All right, so then they buried Rachel and set up a pillar on her grave. Then what did they do? They journeyed beyond that, and they spread his tent beyond the Tower of Adar. Adar means flock. Okay, so the Tower of Adar means the Tower of the Flock, or the Tower of the Flocks, which might be a high place, maybe a few stones stacked upon one another, where shepherds could get up high and keep an eye on their flocks, right? The Tower of Adar. And now we have Reuben's sin. Reuben was the firstborn, and yet notice that he forfeits the rights of progeniture by violating his father's bed. And so this is indeed, it's interesting, isn't it, that we have in both scripture readings, this same sin comes up, right? The sin of affinity is indeed a moral law. It is not something that has passed away, the sin of affinity. What is the sin of affinity? We remember that once you get married, anyone that was off limits for you as far as marriage in your own family is now off limits for you in your spouse's family. That's what's called the law of affinity. The other side of that within your own family is called consanguinity or common blood. Right? So there are sins of consanguinity and sins of affinity. Because affinity means to bring something near. Those relatives of yours are brought nearer through marriage. And they become off limits, just like your own family would be off limits. Okay? So Reuben violates his father's bed and is condemned for it. He loses the rights of primogeniture. All right, and then finally, 27 through 29, we have the death of Isaac and his burial by both Esau and Jacob. One thing I want you to remember here is that they came near unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is in Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. This is also very near to another very famous piece of real estate, and that is the Cave of Machpelah. And so when it says that they came near to that place, the implication is that when they buried Isaac, they buried him in the family plot in the Cave of Machpelah. Okay? All right, so it's at this time then that I will ask the